Hey guys, Andrew here. Just one little quick thing before we start. Patrick's mic had a couple problems during the first few minutes of the recording, but we do fix it after a couple minutes. So just hang in there and enjoy the show. This episode of the CubeCast is brought to you by Eric Reese, shout out to Phil Yu, thanks for the AUGs, Hilmar Magnusson from Iceland, hey all speed cubers, come to Norwegian Open in February, and Joey is awesome. Will Ballard, he says, I am with Andrew on Scubes. Damn right you are. And finally, the Skelecosm. Adam Zamora's head-to-head format adds a new dimension of excitement to cubing competitions. Everyone needs to experience it. Hello and welcome to a very delayed episode 9 of the CubeCast podcast. My name is Andrew Kang, like always, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tom. Tom, what's going on, man?
Yo, we should apologize for taking so long, but it's just been like out of our hands, really. Like stuff came up. We'll try and keep it a normal schedule from now on.
Yeah, we say we try to keep it every 2 weeks, but sometimes delays do happen, and we just have, whether it's, you know, school, job, or just like we just can't find that one little time slot out of the three people that are supposed to be on the show. So yeah. We'll try harder next time and hopefully bring it on schedule. Usually we try to release every episode on Sunday or something. So
yeah.
Anyway, we've already recorded the guest part of the show. Week's guest is Patrick Kelly. And
well, because it was so difficult to like organize anyway, we had to do it like this kind of. It was the only time when we could get him for like an hour.
Yeah, so we're recording the intro 2 days after.
it's quite interesting, actually, because since we recorded that, Felix had a competition, and I think everyone knows what happened there, basically.
All right, before we go on to Phoenix, Felix.
Why are we going to Phoenix?
I meant to say Felix.
Worse.
I meant to say Felix. Let's go on to the other world records. We've only had one since the last episode, and it was Giovanni Contardi with the 4x4 average of 40.67. And, congratulations to him for holding it for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, basically. And then we just have Felix's records, which are, like, he's just gone and broken loads of things.
Yeah, this was in Melbourne Cube Day 2010 or something.
Yeah, the 3x3 single's finally been broken.
Yeah, after 2 whole years.
Yeah, over 2 years.
Over
it's
2 years.
Crazy. Like, so he broke it twice. He got like 703, and then later he got 6.77.
You know,
Ro Hessler?
Yeah, I was going to mention him too.
Yeah, a 6.94 afterwards. That's like, could have been world record, but it's so weird how like, someone will set a time, like when Faz got sub-10 average for the first time, like, soon after, lots of other people got sub-10 average, and it feels like it'll be the same with sub-7 single.
Yeah, I think once the barrier's broken, you know, everyone else catches up.
That doesn't seem to make sense. Why does that happen?
Just, I don't know, maybe just the pressure of it? You know, just, are you alright? You alright there,
bro? Yeah, I'm fine.
Alright. So, I wonder if Ro just like put the cube down, oh, world record, and someone told him, sorry, buddy. That's got success.
I don't know, I assume he already knew. Like, he said he always seems to do better in competitions when Faz just does really well the day before.
Poor Ro.
Okay, so he got like, how many records? He got 5 world records this time?
No. Well, if we count the record he broke again, he got a total of 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he broke the single of 3x3 twice, and he broke he broke the average of 4x4 twice.
Yeah. And he's also broken the 3x3 average, 4x4 single, 2x2 average.
Yeah.
Whatever. Have you seen the 3x3 average video?
No.
Like, it's pretty crazy. Like, on the last solve, he uses ZBLL. Oh. Because I thought it was a PLL skip at first, but it's really cool to watch. Like, it's just insane how his solves are, like, so many turns still.
And yeah. Still,
like, he just has mad TPS.
So let's go through the numbers. 2x2 average, 2.12. We're just gonna only announce the 3x3 single, the final one, the 6.77, which was a full step. Average, 7.91, 4x4 single, 31.97. God, that was crazy. I saw that. It was friggin' on the, no claps though. He hardly got any claps.
Yeah, it's kind of like people expect it now. It's weird. It's strange how, like, you watch his 4x4 solves sometimes and there's, like, pauses in them. It's like, you don't expect that to happen in, like, a 30 seconds.
But his reduction is so fast.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah. And then, there's the single and the average, 35.80.
Which is, like, just, all the records are just so far ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, so, like,
such a massive gap, like, especially the average.
It's like, hey, I got my PB single today, 36. Oh, sorry, that's my average. Like,
yeah.
Screw you, Fez. But we all love him for his speed and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Man, I'll never be able to, goddamn.
There's still time, man. You can still practice and get fast.
Somehow. What are you talking about? He's like 10 years old. He's got like 40 years of cubing left.
See where he's at in 40 years.
Yeah, love you, Fez. Anyway, you just like last week went to the UK Open. How was that, man?
Oh yeah, that was quite fun. It's just kind of annoying because I don't know if you can hear listening to this podcast, but I feel kind of ill. I've had like a lung infection or something. Before that, I had some other kind of virus. So, like, it didn't help during the competition to be kind of unwell the entire time, but I still had fun and stuff. It's always great, like, you know, meeting up with people and getting wasted and talking about random things.
You know, the...
Obviously solving cubes and stuff.
No, duh, you don't need to mention that, but, we're eight episodes in, you know, we have a growing, I guess, following.
Nine episodes. Yeah.
Well, technically nine, but, you know, at the time when you went, it's eight episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, how? Any fangirls from the show?
Not really. Like, the only thing I got was someone saying, like, I think it was Andrew Coghill. He was like, so when's the next show? It's been a while. And I was like, yeah.
Oh.
It's been a while because I'm at the competition.
I think that's what we're known for. Hey, you hear the Cube Kings guys? Yeah, when's their next episode? It's been a while. That's
yeah, basically.
But, what I'm gonna say is already mentioned on the pre-recording 2 days ago, so I probably won't mention it now. You guys will hear it.
Why was it?
What? The kinda like, quote unquote, hate mail that we got?
Oh, for,
For not releasing episodes and...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just angry people.
Yeah.
It's not like we're obliged to do anything.
Well, people do donate a good amount of cash to keep the site alive and, you know...
Yeah, there is that. I don't really think
that. Yeah. Anyway, so we have your 4x4 cubes. What's with that on the show notes?
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, like, I tried out a Dion 4x4, and I've said for a long time that every 4x4 sucks. Like, there's, like, Isshin sucks, Meffert sucks, like, Kleffert sucks, like, Maru sucks, like, Mini QJ sucks, QJ sucks. What other 4x4s are they? They all suck. But trying to Dion, and, like, it's okay. Like, it still kind of sucks because it pops. But, like, it's shaved off, like, 10 seconds off my time, so I'm happy with it.
What if it's just you just hate 4x4s like I hate cubes?
No, I love 4x4. It's just the puzzles are all terrible. Like, it'll be interesting to see what this X cube's like. So I might not buy a Dion for myself. Because it'd be good if it was just like a Dion that didn't pop.
It's the V cube version, right? The V cube core, like mechanics?
I don't know. I think it's like a unique core. Like, the Mario uses a V cube core, kind of.
Interesting.
like, I don't think it has misalignment issues or anything. So I don't know, we'll just have to wait and see. Like, the Dian uses like a 2x2 core. It's kind of strange.
Well, it is like a, you know, kind of a 2x2, I guess.
Yeah.
If you know. Yeah.
It's like a Rubik's brand, but with a 2x2 in.
A Rubik's cores? They freaking terrible.
Yeah, yeah, it's just some kind of weird ball thing. I don't know, whatever.
Anyway, you say Dian, give him a shot?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And then look out for the X-Cube reviews, I guess. Is that out yet?
No, but they say it's being mass-produced soon.
Okay.
It's just that every other 4x4 sucks, so... I've basically got six in my drawer that I'm just never going to use.
So you're saying 4x4 cubes generally suck?
Yeah, definitely.
What about,
especially compared to all the others.
Like, what about Maru?
6x6 aren't that bad. Well, like, I have a Maru, but it locks up and stuff. And it still doesn't even turn that good anyway. I have a really bad Maru, so whatever. I don't really want, like, a puzzle that has a defect, like, that it can lock up.
That's... You're not going to get that, though.
Yeah, I do. Like, it locks up, like, every solve.
Well, I mean, like, you're not going to... There's no, you know, perfect cube out there. Every cube has its own little limitation.
Yeah, I know, but, like, it feels like the limitation's too big. Like, it feels like there should be a good 4x4, and it would be easy to do. Like, and there kind of is. It just pops too much.
Well, I think, like, in my opinion, I don't really know the mechanics and the design behind cubes and stuff, but it seems to me, like, through the, you know, experience, the even number cubes are usually, you know, the lower quality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's because of, well, it depends on a lot of things, but, like, to make a good one of, like, 6x6 and 4x4, you kind of have to have an inner slice. Like, it's like having a 5x5 instead of a 4x4, only the middle layer's, like, inside, and it has to stay aligned, so it gets that problem. But there's also other kinds of cores that you can use that don't have that problem, but they don't turn as well and stuff. It's a whole minefield. Whereas, like, with 3x3 and 5x5, there's, like, a middle. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you don't have that problem, you can just use the other mech, and it works fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm just noticing. I think, I don't know, give it another year or two. We'll see how the X-Cube does, because it looks really cool. Looks really nice.
I just want a good 4x4 that I can play about with. It's so annoying. I don't even do 4x4 anymore because of it. Because that 4x4 at the competition was that good. I just can't touch another one of those.
You heard it, folks. He wants a good 4x4. Go on it. Get working. All right. So I guess moving on to the puzzler.
Okay. Do you want me to read it this time?
Yeah, I guess do it like a quick read, I guess. Yeah, go ahead. Last week's puzzler.
It's got a... okay.
Yeah, John Johnson.
The recurring character. Okay, so... John Johnson is a British spy in Germany during World War II. He's had a German...
No, there's grammar mistakes here and there, you know.
He had a German father and an English mother, so he was perfect for the job. He had great knowledge of the German way of life. He was always careful not to give himself away and never made a false move. As the years passed and the war was tipping towards the Allies, he became encouraged and joyful that he would soon be able to return to his home in England. One day in Berlin, he was daydreaming about his return to England. He was standing on the sidewalk, ready to cross the street when he felt a hand on his shoulder and a gun in his ribs. He'd been found out. How did they know?
Yeah. You like this puzzle? It's a little love to your, you know, homeland?
No. I'm not that patriotic.
Oh. Man. So why do we have the arguments about USA versus, you know, UK?
For fun. Like, one time, I always do it on the IRC channel, and you've just reminded me of a time when, like, me and Dan Cohen were just arguing for, like, an hour about how, you know how you say tuna fish?
Like, yeah.
I was saying that the saying the fish afterwards is redundant. It's like saying, like, chicken bird or something.
Or, like, ATM machine?
Yeah, well, kind of. That's like, our PIN number. That's another one of the...
Oh, that one's that, sick.
They're, like, acronym-based.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was quite a long argument. it's funny.
Well, I guess. Some people... Never mind, I'm not going to go there. So, how did they know? There were a lot of hints, some leading to, I guess, the wrong path. But the junk of what you needed to know was in the first and last paragraph, would you say?
I guess so. Well, in the whole thing, basically. There's only three paragraphs.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a third that I'm cutting out right there. That's pretty significant, you know? So how did they know? Basically, he grew up as an English guy, John Johnson, which is, you know, just a stupid-ass name that I just
made
up.
Pretty British name.
Yeah, pretty British. He was pretty much English and moved to Germany when the war started, so he's pretty much a spy. But he grew up as an English person and drove cars as an English person. So one day in Berlin, when he was daydreaming about his return, he was standing on the sidewalk ready to cross the street.
You mean the pavement?
Dude, come on. I'm trying to explain.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
But basically how they knew is he looked the wrong way when crossing the street.
Because we drive on the left?
You drive on the retarded side, that's why, in the English.
It's not retarded, it's just different.
Yeah, it's different, but you
it's
know,
like left-handed, but the, for driving.
The Germans drive on the side that the United States people do, but the English drive on the left side. So he looked the wrong way when crossing the street. Police saw that, be like, oh man, you know. Did you see that movie? The recent one with the Nazis, the comedy action with
Tom Cruise.
What Tom Cruise? No, not Tom Cruise. you know, the Nazi hunter, not the Nazi hunter, the Jew hunter.
No.
You know,
what it's about.
Oh, you're killing me here. It's that movie where it's American Jews that go hunt Nazis.
What?
Yeah.
That's some strange kind of revenge.
Hey, Sam, remember that movie? But were the American Jews in World War II hunt Nazis? You know that?
It was like Bastards or something.
Inglorious Bastards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. And you know, in that in that movie, there was a scene where this American or this spy is in a German bar and orders two beers. And he holds up the wrong way because I think Germans hold up when they do two, index and thumb, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but
I've heard about this.
He did middle and index and that gave him away. So like little what things like that.
Thank you, sir.
We just wasted 2 minutes just trying to find that movie name. Man.
It's cool. Whatever. Keep
podcasting. Anyway, the winner this week or this episode is Kimi. Congratulations.
You win.
Yay. T-shirt. Woo. We'll send that to you. Basically, I'm gonna like wait until episode 10 winner and then, send them out all at once. Yeah. Cause I don't want to make three trips. Gas is expensive, yo.
just fly in a plane and deliver them personally.
You want to pay me for the ticket, man? I'll go.
Yeah, sure. I'll pay. I've got infinite money.
All right. Anyway, before we go, transition time, apparently. This was recorded 2 days ago, so, yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah, let's go to the future of 2 days ago. Right, Tom?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, what?
What?
Doesn't enjoy. Quite make sense.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So this week's guest is Patrick Kelly, the owner of SpeedSolving.com and basically all around badass with his beard and whatnot. And yeah, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, snap, we can hear you. Oh, how long has it been since we've tried to get you on the show? and like try to find the time.
Couple of weeks probably. I don't know, 3 weeks.
Yeah, we were. This is basically what happened, right? We released a Waffles episode, and we try to get you on the week after. And I think this is 3 weeks later, a month later.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so how was it, you know, taking a month to, you know, save Mordor from, get the ring? How was Frodo? How's Frodo? Is he a good guy?
You talking to me?
Why would you want to save Mordor? I thought Mordor was the bad place. Also.
Hey, I don't pay attention to lore, I just watch the movies.
Yeah, neither do I.
Alright, let's just move on. So how you been, Patrick, the past month or so? I heard you were busy with school, man.
Yeah, definitely busy with school, applying for graduate school as well, and I play ice hockey on the side too, so it's pretty busy.
Ice hockey? Nice. As in full-on gear on the ring?
Yeah, full out, full gear, everything. Yeah, it's busy. What's that?
You any good?
I'm all right. I mean, I'm not like college level, but well, like
what is college level, like pro or something?
Well, Colorado has a really good hockey program. They have like two of the best hockey programs in the U.S. and like most of those guys get drafted. But I just play for a league outside of Denver.
Yeah,
well, that's really cool. You get to bash people in and against the wall and stuff.
Yeah, occasionally. I got laid out last week, hurt my leg pretty bad. But
oh damn. Dude,
I've heard that stuff's pretty violent. Like,
yeah,
you don't really get many sports where like referees allow fighting.
Did you get in a fist fight?
No, they don't allow fights. But it's a pretty violent sport. I mean, football is once a week, and hockey's pretty much every other night, if not every night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's just as rough, I would say.
Well, like, you know, going from zero to fast on hockey, you know, on skates is pretty tough after a while.
Yeah, you're going a lot faster. I'd say the hits are probably harder, but I don't know.
And you have a stick.
Yeah, you have a stick.
All right, so... your mic's cutting in and out right now. Maybe.
It's cool, whatever.
Yeah, we'll just deal with it.
Can you hear me now?
It's a little staticky, but dude, we're pros. We'll handle it. We'll just
By the way, it's a shame you weren't there last weekend, man, at the UK Open. Missed you.
Oh, I know, I missed it.
It's to the point now where I'm like expecting you to be at the UK competitions.
Oh, I know. That was fun. I'm trying to go back to the UK or Europe for graduate school though.
Oh, cool. That'd be awesome. Well, for me.
Yeah.
All right, so, Patrick, please tell us about your cubing background, since we do this for every other guest.
All right, sure, no problem. Back in December of 2005, my brother brought home a video of one of his Russian friends solving a cube in, like, 2 minutes, and I thought it was pretty fascinating, and I didn't buy a cube at that time because I kind of forgot about it after like a week. But then I heard that the world record was broken to be 11.13 seconds.
Wait, lay and low.
Yeah, it was lay and lows. And so I went out and bought a cube on eBay. It was, I think, $11 because I didn't know you could get them at the store. And it ended up being just a Walmart one that was used that I paid more for than I could have just went to the store and got a brand new one for. But I got that, and then started getting into it, and never looked back, really.
So what are your times nowadays?
Low 13s with Friedrich, but I'm just going sub-20 with Rue, and trying to make that my own method, my main method.
Oh, nice.
Rue? Why bother with Rue?
I've been wanting to do that for a couple of years now, and I just haven't got around to it, but now it's just something I want to do. I mean, it's to the point now where it's almost just a matter, everyone's using Friedrichs, so it's just a matter of who can spin it the fastest. And there's no way I'm going to be able to compete with people that way, so I have to be able to drop my move count, and Rue is the one methods to do that.
Yeah, it's really interesting how lots of people seem to be doing that recently. Like, you know, Villa Sepinum? I think that's how you pronounce his name. You know, Speth. He got like sub-15 average with Rue recently. That was pretty crazy.
Dang. That's pretty crazy.
And he just switched randomly to Rue?
Yeah, I don't think he's actually switched. Like, I think he's just doing it for fun. But it's pretty cool how people are, like, just messing about with it now.
Well, it's just like, oh, this looks fun. Let's try it for a week and then not look back at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Not that I'm hating on Rue or anything. But, how long have you been cubing? Like, I don't think...
I guess it officially started, like, January or February of 2006.
So, we started, like, within 2-3 months of each other. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember back in the day, I remember chatting with you back in the day when I was really new on Yahoo Messenger.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you remember. You had a lot of people writing you then, but I remember, you were pretty fast then, I think. Weren't you like 16 seconds or something?
Around there, yeah. That would be because around March I was sub 18, yeah.
That was really fast at the time, I remember.
Oh my gosh. Dude, I remember back in March, that was my first competition with Leon and Tyson, and they flew over to Georgia from California just for like one, 20-person competition, and I was like, my mind blown how fast Leon and Tyson were. That was the, that competition, Leon Lowe got the 1 minute 28 second blindfold world record.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, if you pay close attention, you can see my fat ass in that video, about a minute in or so.
Oh, I've not seen it. Is that the video where there's like some girl stands up in front of the camera?
Yeah, that's like, Joy. She's the person who taught me. One of the two people.
Oh, okay. And someone stands next to him while he's solving or whatever to get a picture taken. Like that's really stupid.
that's stupid.
Well, if you're blindfolded, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, I know, but it's still kind of silly.
Well, the media was there, and, it was kind of hectic, so whatever.
Yeah, media kind of, like, disregards all rules at the competitions.
It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, last weekend they were just, like, sat on timers that we kind of needed to use to judge people on. But it's not like you can just say, oh, can you just stop filming this interview? You're on live TV or whatever. Like, we need to use the timers. You just have to put up with it, kind of, and then complain about it later.
The thing, like, the most annoying thing is the camera people who stand, like, right in front of the competitors to get a shot or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's annoying. Oh, I love when people do that, and I just go up because I'm usually the competition organizer. Sir, you're going to have to stay back 2 meters, and then they're like, shit, whatever.
It's cool that you actually do that, though.
Oh, I do that all the time. I know it's annoying when people do it to me, so I don't let other people, get the same stress.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my first competition was U.S. Nationals 07 in Chicago. And I remember at that time I was like 18 seconds or something like that. I don't think I got a sub-20 solid in that competition. And I was also averaging at the time like 4x4. And my first solve was the first pot on my 4x4 DNF. Then second solve, I'm at the parity and getting a 1 to the next round, even though I had the opportunity to almost win that nationals that year.
Yeah, we only got like 25% of that. You cut off so much.
It was really funny to hear, like, we didn't win the words like parity, 4x4, next round. It's weird because it didn't happen to
yours.
What's
up?
No idea.
Is it my connection or is it yours?
It's because I'm hearing Tom fine. I think your connection's a little wonky.
I don't know. Like, it could be your microphone or something, because normally when you're just chatting with us, it seems fine. Like, when you're just saying, like, random sentences. But it seems to be when you speak for an extended time. Or whatever. We can manage, I'm sure.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but... I guess we'll move on to speed solving because we really didn't hear anything about that. You're pretty much, as of now, you're really known because of, obviously, speedsolving.com, since you're the owner, right?
You must have started that, like, really soon after you started cubing as well, right?
Yeah, I started it right after I started cubing. I'd run a large sports car trading firm from like 2001 to like 2005. And so I knew kind of about the software that existed out there and how discussion forums worked. And then when I got into cubing, the only forum I could find was the Yahoo group. And I said I hated using a mailing list to discuss stuff because it was so unorganized. It was really hard to find stuff. And you had to do it all through email pretty much. I mean, you could have went to the Yahoo page, but that was even more unorganized.
It was just like having one forum with everything in, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually started with me and Joel Van Nieuwer, or Joel Van Nieuwer.
Yeah.
He actually started it with me and was there for like a year and then left.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember he was really active around those years. And his site was really popular, and I remember learning a weird finger trick for an R perm, if you know what I mean. With the index finger going around the cube for U2.
Yeah, definitely. He had one of the best websites for learning how to get faster. Sure, that's how I got to know him.
Yeah, didn't he have a good like blindfold site as well? If I remember.
I think he might have added it a while after that, though.
That might be new.
Mediocre intermediate guide, and then he expanded it. I don't think the site exists anymore.
Oh, really? Wasn't it like solvethecube.co.uk? Awesome.
That was it. Originally was something different than that, but then he bought that domain, but now it's expired.
Going back to, I guess, Yahoo's group, I mean, that was the one that Chris Hardwick started, and it worked well for a while, but what were the big, I guess, shortcomings from the site? I mean, we adjusted it a little bit, but...
Mainly just the way you discuss stuff. I mean, it's pretty obvious, I think, for anyone that used it. I don't know why no one else like just thought it would come up before. I mean, there were a lot of people who came up with it, but they're like, oh, it's not going to work. Because people already tried it, and if you don't have activity, who's going to come to the forum?
Yeah, that's the thing. You need the traffic to be able to make it work. But I guess you lucked out.
There's a couple things you need to do. You need to either come up with something that's better than what exists and have the people who use whatever exists to move over, or you need to find a way to get a lot of traffic to it quick so people can gather information on the website so people have a reason to show up there. And I think what it was they found out that the form, just a simple free form I created, was a lot better than the Yahoo group. And people started going there. And I don't know.
You not do much advertising?
No, I didn't do any advertising on Speed Solving until the beginning of this year, pretty much.
No, I mean advertising for it, like to get users to the site. I guess you didn't really need to.
No, I didn't because Joel or Joel was he was pretty well known at that time, and he told a bunch of people.
So it was a word of mouth thing, just hey, check this out.
Yeah, pretty much. And then when it started getting somewhat big, it's like, I think 10,000 posts on the free form. I was like, we need to move this to our own server to get it off the free form, upgrade to a better form.
Well, and it was called like Rubik's Hazard, wasn't it?
An Envision free form with a redirect, which was Rubik's.has.it.
Yeah,
I just moved it onto our own server. I had already run quite a few forms before that, what type of store existed and whatnot. I knew that it'd be a lot easier to bandwidth V Bulletin than it would with Envision Free.
One second. We're going to put on pause right now. Yeah. And we're back in. Patrick had a little mic issue, so he's all changed up with another mic. We should be good to go. So,
you make it sound like you changed his nappy. Awesome.
What's up?
Nothing. Just carry on.
Oh, what'd you say?
Nothing. You can hear it later when you play it back.
All right. So Patrick, did you think, when you made the website, did you think it would be this popular? Because Speed Solving now has 10,000 members just recently.
I didn't think it would be as big as it is right now, but I knew it was going to be a lot bigger than it was at the Yahoo group.
Oh.
Yeah, because at the moment it's like the biggest cubing site, I think.
I think the Chinese have a bigger one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the biggest English-speaking one.
Yeah, for sure. Dude, the Chinese have 1 billion people, all right? And there's no way. Like...
Yeah. I saw a video, this is a little off topic, but I saw a video yesterday.
Yeah.
And the Chinese built a 15-story hotel in 6 days.
What? That's ridiculous.
How?
They manufactured all the pieces specific for that building before it was even made, so all it was just a matter of assembling it.
Holy
like
balls.
Lego or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They just go to the company like, hey, I like a 15-story, you know, set, and they just give you a little box with all the pieces, like a Lego set.
Pretty much. I think they work like 24/7.
Imagine having that happen in like a town where you live. Like suddenly, over the course of a week, there's suddenly like a skyscraper there. Like, whoa.
How many people worked on it?
A billion.
I don't know exactly how many people did it, but apparently it's going to change the way people start constructing buildings now because it saved a bunch of time and waste because they had it all pre-built pretty much before it was even at the site.
And
they didn't have any way to do the site other than assemble it.
Does it save money too? Would you say?
Probably.
I guess,
probably
you know,
money.
Man hours, I guess, over the course of months that buildings typically take, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it'll get cheaper over time as well because, like, the planning involved in doing that for the first time is quite a lot, I guess.
All right, guys, listeners, welcome to Construction Cast, where we talk about Chinese building methods. So, oh, that was the most random thing, Patrick. Anyway, but yeah, I think it would safe
Chinese
to say it's the biggest English one. Whatever we do, I guess the Chinese is doing it better. So
it depends.
The Chinese one's been around, I think.
What?
I think the Chinese round one has been around for a while, like longer than speed solving.
Now, Do you know how many members? Because Mike Huey and I talked about it, and apparently it was like 40,000 members or something. That, if I remember correctly.
I don't know how many
something.
There are.
I've looked around the forum of the Chinese cubes though. It's kind of like strange compared to ours. They have like a forum for one-handed and stuff. Like they have forums for separate methods. It seems very like segmented needlessly.
Well, I guess it's more if they have a lot more people, then there are a lot more people who want to talk about specific things, I guess.
True.
And would you say if you segment it more, it leaves more room to like grow, I guess, you know, develop? What do you guys think?
No, if you segment it too much, it kills it. That's just how forums work because what happens is there's no activity. So people go there, just leave. So you have to have a certain amount of activity. If you expand it too much, it will die, guaranteed.
Oh, really? Just like the forum as a whole or just that section?
Well, what will happen is the post will end up getting split up and eventually lower the activity of almost every form. So you have to keep it somewhat active.
Because didn't that happen with the one-handed forum on speed solving? Like,
did we
used to have one? And then, because no one posted, we got rid of it?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's interesting. We did have a one-handed, yeah, I remember now.
No, you don't. You're just making that up.
Oh, I do remember. Trust me. I'm Asian. What does that have to do with anything? But, so speed solving's been around 4 years now. 4 years? Yeah.
Almost five years.
Almost 5 years. And, so you've been the man behind the operation pretty much the whole time, and I bet No, you've seen a lot of changes in the community, so, like, what kind of things have you noticed during the years?
The site's definitely got a lot more traffic, a lot more people, a lot more things being discussed. I remember back when it started, when there's like, I think 30,000 posts or something, I thought to myself that we've already pretty much discussed everything you can think of in speed solving, like, in terms of how much more can you talk about? And now we're almost to 500,000 posts, and it's still going. And I think it's only going to get much bigger, I think, assuming the quality doesn't drop so much that all the people who are really into it leave.
Because
I think if a lot of the top people in the world stop using the online forum, it would draw a lot of people away from it, and they'd all go elsewhere.
So so the higher quality people attract the lower quality. Is that what you're saying? Or
well, I think the core people that have been around for several years are the ones who kind of keep it going. I mean, for example, for this year I've been incredibly busy and I haven't done a whole lot other than just browse and moderate a little bit, but mostly the people that run it are the moderators of the forum. I just kind of do the back-end stuff, technical stuff.
So what you're when you mentioned the 30,000 posts and the whole, you know, we've talked about everything cubing, that's kind of like what Tom and I feel with the show. Like, Tom, we've discussed like, oh, we're only going to go like 25 episodes in before we, you know, stop talking about stuff.
Yeah, run out of content.
And this, you know, the show's been going for like 27 minutes now and we've only discussed like 3 bullet points out of the whole 20 that we have right now.
Yeah. It's surprising how much you can talk about stuff. Like, I mean, we've kind of covered a lot of stuff on the cast already and there's still so much to go through. Like, new stuff happens all the time and like there's still a backlog of, I could talk endlessly about uninteresting information. But whatever, let's cover the interesting things.
And everything we cover, we kind of barely scratch the surface of.
Yeah, it's weird how, like, you think you'd be able to do more with speech over text, but apparently not.
Yeah,
definitely. I think you guys have a pretty much an unlimited amount of things to talk about. So just a question of whether people will send in ideas or not. But I think you just have a pretty good audience of people listening now that they're going to listen almost no matter what you talk about.
You know,
yeah, they do help contribute as well, like, to the content.
I would say, like, you know, a good 30% to 40% of the show, comes from the listeners. And, you know, it's been about a month since our last episode, and we promised them that it was going to be a week wait instead of a month. We actually got a couple of hate mail, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was not more hate mail, but, like, more, I'm frustrated, please give me CubeCast
mail. Yeah, I've seen some posts.
It's my fault.
Oh, no, it's all our fault. We had a, you know, number of options and, you know, things came up. Tom went to competition. He got sick. You know, you had work.
Still sick.
Whatever. Suck it up.
Been trying.
But yeah, it's, basically, I guess something that really wasn't, prevalent in 2007 was, trolls?
You go.
You already know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's the tough thing about it is, I kind of expected it because I had run that sports card trading forum, which is about 5,000 members big back in 2002, pretty much, when it was that big.
Yeah.
And the more quality, or the more people you have, that is just going to come with it. And I think one of the big things that contributes to it as well is there's a lot of kids that go to the forum as well, and things are going to be said that don't seem very mature, stuff like that. And that's just naturally going to happen. It's the hard thing is trying to deal with it. I mean, there's not really a whole lot you can do other than moderate it.
Yeah, when there's a bigger crowd, you get a very different signal to noise ratio, if you know what I mean. There's a lot more like just threads that don't mean anything. Threads that don't really have their own unique content, people who are just posting anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's harder to filter through them and get to the actual beef.
Yeah, definitely. You can't really compare it to how the forum was back when it was on the Envision Free forum because that was so small that every discussion was obviously going to be a lot more in-depth. As it gets bigger, obviously that's going to spread out more. The stuff that's already been asked, people won't search for it and ask it again, so the overall quality will drop. All you can do is try preventing that stuff to try improving it.
So what are the kind of ways you guys been trying to go at it?
We've done a couple things. Reorganizing like the names of the forum so people know exactly where they should post or at least know as much as possible of where they should post. So like good descriptions of the forums. We also created like a welcome private message sent to every new member, so they kind of have an idea of how the website's structured and where they should post. Back on the old forum before I upgraded it to this new one, we had a thing when you create a new thread, it tells you to search first. It's little things like that, but it's really up to the person and teaching them where they should post. But I mean, there's really no way to prevent that. There's going to be people who come on who don't care to read the form. They just want their answer and go ask it wherever they can see they can post.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only thing we can do is just have moderators move that around.
Yeah, they aren't really coming to contribute, I guess. They're just coming to learn what they need to know.
Well, yeah, and you can't really blame them either. I mean, if you're a 15-year-old kid or 11-year-old kid and you want to learn how to solve the cube, you're just going to go on there and ask a question. You're not going to bother searching for it. It's kind of, yeah. You can't really blame them.
They're not going to research. You can't blame them, but really they should. I mean,
they should, but, I mean, it's...
You can't make them. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. There's no way to prevent it. I remember back in the day when I was 11... Back in the early 2000s when I was online, I used to do the same thing. I would go on forums and not search stuff. I mean, that's just
how I follow the ethic or whatever.
But, yeah. I don't know. Nowadays with the almighty Google, I guess, and the search function on the forum, here and there, I mean, what do you guys... I know it's good intentions with a crappy way to go about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, ideally, obviously, if people search before they post it, it'd resolve all the issues, because pretty much everything that you want to know exists right now, for the most part.
Unless you're creating something new.
Yeah, but if you're creating something new, it's probably already been created, you just haven't found it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and even if you're doing that, I kind of expect that kind of person to already know things they'd be asking about.
Yeah.
Like, they should really need the help to search.
But I think it also, like, creates some hostility towards new members that want to join the community, but like, oh, you're a noob, you know, why didn't, you know, that initial...
Yeah, well, it's just because it's kind of annoying for other people to have to read through, oh, this is a post where I know it's already been answered, like, X amount of times, and I have to just deal with it, write a link to whatever, the actual information. Like, it ends up, you just end up having to do the work for them, to like search for it. It's kind of frustrating to have to deal with that as a user, but you know, you get on with it. But some other people get really annoyed and like it turns into a massive flame fest and whatever.
Yeah, I think the wiki helped a lot, because one of the things that would get rid of a lot of the new questions would be to have a central place to for all the information to be stored. And the wiki actually gets quite a bit of traffic, a lot more than I think people think it does. And I think it contributed a lot to at least slowing down how many like stupid questions are asked, but I mean it's going to be an ongoing problem and there's really no way to prevent it completely, but over time we just try working to fix it.
Cool.
Yeah, the wiki's a great idea. Like it's just a shame that, well, there is like a lot of information on it already. It's just a shame that there's so much information in like the cubing world to like there's no way you're going to be able to encompass all of it on that wiki.
Yeah,
like, it's so much information for people to write down.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, look how much information there is right now compared to next to nothing there was three or four years ago. So,
well, there's more than enough for someone who's beginning to, like, learn loads of different things. Like, I'm just saying that it doesn't have all the speciality information, but really that's kind of what the forums are for, I guess, anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so... I guess two things from that, I guess, for people who want to know about it. Number one, the wiki, and if it's not there, search function, right?
Yeah, speedsolving.com/wiki. I'm going to start integrating it more into the forum over time when I get more time. I have a few pretty exciting things coming up that should be pretty cool.
Yeah, talking about that, the new site, great job, by the way. It's pretty sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty slick.
I like it. It's at first there were some things that I was kind of annoyed about. You know how there's a couple of things, like, you know, the new front page and stuff like that. But like every problem or issue I had with the site from then, you like changed eventually. So it wasn't really a problem. Well, it was just different. I wasn't used to it. But you fixed anything that was kind of annoying anyway.
Yeah, the forum was running a version of vBulletin, which is what runs it's a software that actually runs the forum. It was running a version that was about 3 years old, and there's a lot of things I've been thinking about trying to do with the forum, but I couldn't do them with that version, so the only thing I could do is upgrade it. And then a lot of the things that were compatible with that version of the forum aren't compatible with the latest one, so I have to basically redo everything from scratch pretty much. But there's a lot more, you can do a lot more with this version of the forum. than I could have with the last one. So there's some exciting things I'll be able to do with it.
Yeah. I love the, you know, the Visual Cube, Comrade Riders, like, cube thing. I love the integration we have with that now, where you can just, like, throw some tags in and write, whatever, like, as a definition for the cube, and you can just have the image of it. It's really useful.
Yeah, that was all Conrad. He put that all together. That was, it's pretty crazy. He's a pretty crazy programmer.
Yeah, I met him last weekend. It was pretty cool. Like, he has loads of cool stuff on his site as well.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Have you ever used the algorithm translator?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, it's so beast. So useful.
Oh, yeah. He's contributed a lot to the... He doesn't get enough credit for how much he's done.
Yeah. At least he gets shouts now, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Conrad.
So, what are some of the new features that have been integrated? Because,
In terms of the new form, there hasn't been a whole lot of new stuff yet. It's more just setting it up for it, because basically what I've been doing since I've created it is just start moving everything that used to be on the old website to the new one.
Yeah.
So nothing really too much that's new. I added the RSS feed on the side of the form, which wasn't a big deal. Kind of added a sidebar to the form home. Slightly new design.
Are there spoilers from the new site?
Dan probably did that. I haven't done a whole lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Dan set that up on the last form as well.
Okay.
Okay. So it's been almost 5 years. Speed cubing is 10,000 members. Speed solving is 10,000 members. What do you think the kind of like the future outlook for speed solving is? Would you say 100,000 is possible at all?
Yeah, I think 100,000 members is possible. I think it will continue to grow quite a bit, assuming that we can continue getting people to work on it and help with it. Like, most of the site is run right now by the moderators, not really me. I just have been doing the technical stuff. But I want to get to the point where I can, once I get all my work sorted out, just be able to work on it a lot more, get another person who can work on the technical stuff with me. So it's not just me having to do all the stuff. I think it'll just continue to grow, and there'll be a lot of new cool features that will be out there. If you can think of anything that would make it a better resource, for example, there's starting to be a lot of live results from competitions. If there's a way that I could, if those could be fed live onto the website itself, so you don't have to actually go anywhere to look for those results, that would be helpful for people browsing the site.
Kind of
so
like
if records broken, you would know that within 1 minute or something like that, or as soon as it posts online. Stuff like that. I think just getting the latest technology on it and stuff like that.
That is a really cool idea, actually. Like, I think the software is available for free or whatever. So I can't remember. I think it's some Polish people who made it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it'd be that bad to do. Just pretty much anything you can think of that would make it a better experience for the people using it. Because when it was much smaller, I would really only use the form to like figure out what was going to happen at a competition. Like if we were going to meet beforehand, I would post on the form.
Yeah,
if we were going to do something after, I'd post on the form. I kind of want to start integrating more with the WCA so we can get like our calendar up to date with that stuff. So you don't have to actually go to the WCA to find out what's going on. You can just look on speed solving.
Like, it has all the results.
Yeah, just simplify it for the people as opposed to having to go look around different websites.
God damn. You're speed solving taking over the cubing world one step at a time, right? Oh yeah, while we're on this whole integrating topic, remember a couple months ago at US, the whole, you know, CubeCast / speed solving thing. What do you think about that still?
Yeah, the offers, if you still want to put it on the speed solving site, that's totally fine with me.
Alright.
It's like another section in your whole speed solving, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It called?
That's another thing that I've been trying to do is it used to be just a form, like Rubix.has.it was just a form, there was no homepage.
Yeah.
And then I created a portal for that before I moved it over to the actually speedsolving.com. And now that it's speedsolving.com, the form is almost just right now it's obviously the biggest part, but it's kind of expanded a lot more into like the wiki. There's a homepage now. there's a couple other pages. And I think.
Well, there's like interviews and stuff.
Yeah, and I think there'll be I'll be able to expand it a lot more now that it's the form is just part of it and not the entire thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what other things can you add? There's not many kinds of things past a forum and a wiki. I guess it'd be more like well, I'd say like tutorials and stuff, but that's kind of wiki stuff anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of wiki stuff. I'll just wait and see. We'll see what happens over the next 3 weeks.
Okay. Sounds like you want to keep it secret.
No, it's, I don't have the exact ideas, but I have some ideas that are pretty cool.
Okay.
Let's just say it involves cheesecake and dolphins, and just leave it at that. Alright.
Whoa. Okay.
I guess some listener questions. We had a lot of random ones, and here's number one. Logan Kelly asks, I guess just a general mind about Minecraft. How do we feel about it? Have we played it? And give us our thoughts.
I haven't played it at all. I was told not to play it because it's too addicting.
Tom, what about you?
I pirated it and my computer couldn't run it, so I haven't really played it. But everyone's been ranting on about it. It's kind of annoying.
It's
like, to hear about it all the time.
It's an 8-bit simulator.
Yeah, my computer's pretty bad. Whatever.
Oh no. Can your computer play 1080p YouTube videos?
I tried to, no. Like, I tried to play it and like, it just lags like crazy. It's
what
really
kind of
annoying.
What computer do you have?
It's like a 2 gigahertz laptop, 64-bit AMD processor.
And it doesn't
run? With like a gig of RAM. No, like, I think, it's like, how many years old is it? It's like 6 years old now. So,
should easily be able to run that though. 2 gigahertz should be more than enough.
Oh, yeah, I know, but like, I think the fan's kind of dying, so the CPU likes to overheat and stuff. It's just dying. I need a new one. Whatever.
Number, I guess, defrag your hard drive and then
defrag.
Yeah. Dude, defragging a hard drive actually improves performance a lot, for me at least.
Depends what file system you use.
Wait, and, what are you using, Tom?
What do you mean, like?
What operating system?
I'm on Xubuntu at the moment. Like, because I used to use Windows, and this laptop couldn't even handle that. So
not
I had
even
to
XP?
Well, yeah, I was on XP and stuff, but like, Flash video used to, like, be really choppy stuff. So, like, I've just installed this, and it's really good, because it's like, lo-fi kind of thing. Like, it doesn't use up that much RAM for the desktop or whatever. It's really nice, but I can't really do much past, like, Cube on it. Like, I can use QQ Timer. That's all I need.
Maybe you should not eat a couple Big Macs for a week and then just buy another one. Because, like, the lowest end of computers right now could probably, you know, be, like, 100 times better than what you
have.
Yeah,
I know, but that'll cost me more than a few Big Macs.
All right, like 10 Big Macs. Let's do it.
Still, that's only like 20 quid.
What's quid? What?
You don't know what a quid is?
No.
Pat must know what a quid is.
Yeah, but I didn't know what it was before I went over there. I remember when I first heard someone say quid, I was like, what the hell is that? And I was like, how do you spell it? They're like Q-U-I-D. I was like, oh. It's similar to a buck, and like we call a dollar a buck. They call it.
You silly Brits.
I guess it is kind of strange. It sounds like the name of like a sporting thing or something, like a quid, like a special type of ball or something. It's like what you call the ball in rugby or whatever.
When you just said quid, I just thought of a duck for some reason. Maybe quack, quack and quid. All right. So, Minecraft. Patrick, you haven't played it?
Nope, haven't.
Tom, you obviously haven't played it?
No.
I haven't played it. Let's move on. Lucas Curves. That was an awesome question, by the way. Lucas Curves. I am currently 40 seconds and seem to have hit a wall. How do I get past this wall? Alright. Patrick, you want to handle this?
40 seconds.
Yeah.
Just there's not a whole lot more to say other than just a general answer of practicing, because that's all it really boils down to at 40 seconds. I mean, I don't really know. Just put more time into it. But you shouldn't think of it as time, because if you're enjoying it, it's just, like, I mean, it's just do it while you, whenever you have free time or whatever. It's fun. You'll eventually get
just happier. Keep more, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, like, I progressed really fast from when I started solving to around 17 seconds, and I stayed 17 for like 3 months straight, and just one day I just did an average and I was sub 15, like out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's happened to me a few times. Like if you take a break for like a little while,
you come back
for some reason.
It's strange, like I don't know how it works.
But yeah, Lucas, learn an algorithm here or there and just keep cubing, because, you know, eventually you're just going to get faster. It doesn't matter what kind of cube you have unless it pops every solve. You know,
actually,
as long as...
like 40 seconds is about the time where you want to, it's like a threshold for learning a new method. Like if you're going to switch, you should do it now rather than later.
Well, I'm assuming he's Friedrich, or even with Rue. Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, cubing.
More. Yeah, it's a matter of practice, but like now would be a better time than like later to switch methods if you're going to.
Yeah,
I think the biggest thing is actually dropping your move count, which will come by practice. But at 40 seconds, I mean, if you can get your move count down to like, I don't know, 60 or 70 moves, even 80 moves, you'll easily beat 40 seconds. Like if you're moving relatively fast.
Oh, definitely.
Like that's the biggest thing that dropped my time from like 21 to like 15 was dropping my move count.
Mm. Yeah, doing things efficiently. And what helps in dropping move count is like, instead of just doing speed solves, like just sitting there and do solves slowly, like, and looking ahead and trying to see the easiest solutions for the whole thing.
Instead
of just spamming.
Yeah, make the best of every situation, because what I see a lot of times is people get down to a certain point where they're moving fast and they just see a case and they just want to do as fast as they can instead of just making the most out of it. But if you make the best out of it, then you can improve on the speed and it'll be much faster than it would be if you just continued the way you were doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Because just over time, fast turning is just going to come naturally, but, efficient moves and just, you know, good algorithms, you know, you actually have to spend time on it and slowly go through it. So do a lot of slow solves, especially on F12. That's the biggie. Definitely. It's like, especially when you're slow, F12 is like 80% of your solve, time-wise. Something like that? Yeah. Anyway, just keep cubing, and looks like we're going to be moving on. All right.
Blip, bloop.
And we're back with the random catch of the day. We got two little threads to talk about this week. Number one, non-cubing related, the gaming thread. All right. So, Patrick, do you play any games?
I used to play games a lot, but I stopped because it took too much time. Whenever I play a game, I always want to be the best at it, and I'll dedicate myself to it until I am. So I just don't do it too much anymore.
Sounds like someone grew up.
What?
Yes. I used to play Utopia and Earth 2025. They're text-based strategy games. They're really fun.
Text-based strategy games.
Yeah, so you don't actually see anything happening. It's just all done through text, entering text into text boxes. And it sounds stupid, but it's actually really fun.
Now, is it single-player or, like, what?
No, it's definitely multiplayer. Utopia used to be around, like, 50,000 players, but now it's pretty much dead. It was, you ran a province, and you're put into a kingdom with 25 provinces, and your kingdom would try to be the top kingdom in the world by your net worth. your net worth is the value of your country. And your value of your country is determined by, like, how much military you had, different, like, the strength of your army, stuff like that.
All through?
Pretty strategic.
All through text?
It was all through text.
Wow, yeah. How do you keep track of that?
It sounds really boring, but if you did it, if you search Earth 2025, you can kind of see that's a different game, but it's run by the same company. It's a text-based strategy game. It's pretty fun.
Damn. It's interesting that those are so popular.
They're not that popular, but those two games aren't too popular anymore. It just died because the guy who ran it sold it, and then that company stopped running it, and they just like gave it to the community, and now the community runs it, and yeah. It just kind of died.
The community doesn't care that much anymore.
Yeah, they're not willing to pay for the advertising to promote it. So.
Yeah.
So what about, like, are you like a Halo fan or COD?
I mean, I played Halo, but I don't own an Xbox or anything.
Halo sucks. It's the worst FPS ever.
What? There are plenty of worse FPS.
No, you want to get some Counter-Strike down your neck, mate.
Counter-Strike?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but...
Halo's just so dumb. Like, it's silly. It's not a real FPS.
What are you talking about? You're in first person and you shoot people. That's an FPS.
Yeah, but it's not fun. Like, it's just silly aliens and stupid guns. Whatever.
I used to play Mario Kart for N64.
Yeah.
Baby. I used to play that for I tried setting shortcut records, and I used to hold the world record in one of the shortcuts for Wario Stadium.
Nice.
There's still a website completely dedicated to people trying to break world records on that game.
Oh, speedruns, yeah.
Speedruns, yeah. But I was always involved in the shortcut stuff. It was kind of just like glitched in the systems, but it was really fun.
Isn't there's one for the Wario system, the Wario Stadium lap, where you can just, like, basically jump over the barrier at the start and then, like, skip the entire course, basically.
Yeah, you can pretty much just round the pole on the left when you first start.
Yeah, yeah.
You can jump the wall and then use your mushroom and jump right back, and you can get, like, I think my record was, like, 2.43 seconds for Wario Stadium.
What?
Yeah. It took so much time, though. I used to play that a lot, too. I practiced that probably, like, 10,000 times, that one stadium.
Just to get that one little turn
like
down,
a
right?
Thing.
I think that was only the record by, like, 0.01 seconds at the time. I don't even know if it ever got posted because they wanted a video of it, and I didn't videotape it.
Oh, that blows. Goodness gracious. Well, I guess I've talked about it a lot, but I play...
StarCraft.
StarCraft right now.
And, I played StarCraft back in the day.
Oh, yeah. You know Boxer?
Yeah, I know Boxer.
Yeah, he just switched over to StarCraft 2, and he got to the semifinals in the biggest StarCraft 2 competition, so it's been pretty awesome.
Oh, nice.
His comeback game, like, you know, they played in Korea, so it's like during the morning time, when they stream it live, but apparently the game company knew that a lot of people were going to tune in to watch Boxer, but 800,000 people tuned in to watch him.
Oh, damn.
And it crashed the servers. It was the company was Gom TV, and if you take Gom in Korean, that means bear. And a lot of the people on Gom TV got pissed off and went to related sites that started with Gom. So there was like one random Korean baseball team, like the Korean Bears or something, and the people who were pissed off at Gom TV went to that went to those website and trashed their forums.
Nice.
Just because they couldn't see a live match for StarCraft 2. But anyway, that's who I'm associated with.
Speaking of StarCraft 2, I knew a guy a couple of years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago, who knew StarCraft 2 was going to come out.
Yeah.
He went and bought a bunch of domain names that involved StarCraft 2.
Uh-huh.
And right when StarCraft 2 was released, he sold them all for like 15 grand. And he paid like under $500 for all of them.
Oh my god. Like, what kind of names?
I think StarCraft StarCraft 2 spelt certain way, like StarCraft forms, StarCraft by StarCraft2.com, stuff like that.
Whatever. It's good. Like the guys who bought the rights to the name 22nd Century Fox. Sorry, I just coughed. 22nd Century Fox, like, so in like 100 years or whatever, they'll sell that name to Fox or something. I heard that story, it might not be true.
What's up?
That's my phone.
One second. Yeah, just keep talking, give me a second.
Well,
it's kind of like YouTube, when YouTube became big, the domain name letteryoutube.com was owned by like a plumbing company. I just checked now and it's owned by, looks like it's not that plumbing company anymore, but I remember YouTube tried buying it, but they didn't want to sell it, something like that.
It's crazy how you can like get money from registering things like that because people will pay for it. Like, I think a lot of the time people try and like sue for it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of money involved. There's a whole business involved with just buying and selling domain names. It used to cost like a couple $100s to register a domain name in the late 90s.
Yeah. Well, you get like domain squatters now all the time, just registering like thousands of them.
Yeah, definitely. I've bought a few that I think will be worth something someday.
Oh, really? Like what? Can you say them?
One of them, freemactools.com. I pretty much bought it just for the domain name.
Yeah.
I think I could easily resell it for more than I paid. I just paid the $10 for it. But I kind of want to develop it into something, but just haven't had time. I have quite a few other websites outside of speed solving.
Interesting. Yeah. I just needed to get a website so I can just chuck my random stuff on there. Like, I don't actually have a site to make or anything. It's just like content that I need to share with people. Like, I was thinking of moving some of it to the wiki, but it's just can't be bothered, to be honest.
Yeah, your website is fine. I mean, just there's no point. I think having a personal website is perfectly fine. It doesn't all need to be concentrated, I suppose.
Yeah, like, it's not even, it's kind of like a portfolio kind of thing, but it's not even that. It's just I need somewhere where I can put stuff and people can get to it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I'm back.
Yeah.
What's going on? What are you guys talking about?
The internet.
Cool. Are you guys done? Do you want to move on?
No, I was just chatting bubbles. I've used that phrase loads recently. I don't know why.
What?
Bubbles. Chatting bubbles.
Giant bubbles?
Chatting bubbles.
Chatting bubbles.
Yeah, it means like talking rubbish. Rambling.
Rubbish.
Is that another Britishism?
I guess. Yeah. Rubbish,
trash, I guess.
Talking trash, talking snuff.
Yeah, but trash talk is something different. Trash talk's like, you know what trash talk is.
Yeah.
Like, talking rubbish is completely different.
But rubbish is, like, trash.
Or, like, what else do you call it? Garbage. Take out the garbage can, man.
Garbage can? Just take out the garbage.
We call it a wheelie bin.
You call it rubbish bin, don't you?
Yeah, whatever.
Wheelie bin?
Well, a wheelie bin's like, do you not know what a wheelie bin is? It's like
a recycling bin.
Yeah, like a recycling bin, but you don't have to put a recyclable in it.
Oh, what? I'm just, in my head, no, let's move on, okay. So, I guess this has been, I guess the last week or so that it's been up. The no more spoilers and signatures thread.
Yeah, I really wanted to know what you thought of this part. People kept having a go at Dan.
I don't think it should be there. It's not a big deal. It's pretty easy to regulate that too. So
I guess for the listeners who don't know what's going on, can you kind of explain the whole situation that led up to it?
I wasn't really involved with it. It was pretty much Dan's thing.
Or Tom, like, you know what's going on?
The weird thing that happened was that it got so, people talked about it so much, like, there was like over 100 replies to the thread, when it's just something that happened, like, you should kind of accept it. Basically, like, you know how you get spoiler tags and you click on it and it opens something?
Yeah.
They said, like, you can't use them in signatures anymore because it circumvents, like, the limit of amount of information you can have in the cigar for whatever reason. And then, for some reason, after this got announced that it was banned, like, loads of people started complaining about it and were questioning, like, Dan's adminship. And, like, they wanted to bring Pat into it or whatever. And, like, really, like you said, it doesn't matter. Like, it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah. The biggest thing is, the reason why you wouldn't want to have a spoiler in your signature is because it interrupts your reading of a thread. It's the same reason why you wouldn't, we just have more than two lines of signature. I mean, what's a signature even really good for if you think about it? I mean.
Yeah. Or like, have a picture in it or something stupid.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that
well, I don't actually have a cig, so.
So, is the rule gonna be enforced?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't had much time to work on it, but I'm pretty sure I could find a way to just disable that from signatures. It wouldn't be, if people don't do it themselves, we can just overall disable it.
Alright, I guess, your stance is pro signatures. It's, cause like, never mind, I was gonna make a stupid comment.
Have you seen Dan's new signature?
No.
It's like an image of John Hancock, the signature. Pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
What?
He has like an image, and it says John Hancock. It's his signature.
Who's John Hancock?
Isn't he some American guy who signed some magic paper that you all believe in or something? I don't know. I don't understand.
John Hancock.
You're American. Who's John Hancock?
He's from back. Wasn't he born a long time ago?
He was something from the American Revolution or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, wasn't he like a founding father or whatever?
Yeah, he was.
Probably. Alright.
Yeah, he signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that's the one, the magic paper. I know more about this than you guys do.
The English know more about American culture than Americans know about the culture themselves. Like, when I went to England, everyone there knew more about American music and American movies than I did.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like, pretty much 80% of our culture is American. Right?
Well, when you're number one, you really don't have to pay attention to yourself, right?
You really think you're number one?
You, USA! What's going on, man? Huh? You got some beef?
You have an ego. Are we really gonna get into this?
Dude, you just admitted that 80% of your culture is based on us, so.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, like, the movies and stuff is.
Oh, whatever. The 20% is like Wheelie Bin and, you know, Quid. That's the 20% you have.
I think 80 was an exaggeration. It's more like the other way around, but whatever.
The British is actually, they're like totally different than the US. They just know a lot about the American culture, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess you don't really have like, we have like the British culture and then the American one as well. Like, you don't really have the British culture as well.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
That's basically the only difference.
Okay, enough about Tom's little magic
world.
Yeah. I guess, quick fire questions for Patrick.
Yeah, let's do this. You ready?
Ready.
You know how this works, right?
Yeah, you're going to ask me something and I have to answer it, right?
As fast as possible, yeah.
Alright, that's
you want to go first?
Yeah. Right. Okay, so question one is, what's your favorite thread ever on speed solving?
Introduction to beginner's thread.
Nice.
That's such a headache saver, I can imagine.
I don't know.
Let's see. Number two, Jason Kilbourne. If you can go back in time to when you first started cubing, what is the one piece of cubing-related advice you would give yourself?
Find the best algorithm first so you don't have to relearn them.
I would have said wash your hands before, you know, cubing again after you use the bathroom, but
dude.
What?
Okay.
You don't cube on the toilet?
Oh, you meant toilet?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
you cube on the toilet, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Am I weird?
Yeah, I just didn't think you were talking about the toilet.
Oh, anyway. Anyway. Just go.
Okay, so Ben Whitmore asks, if you suddenly became a cannibal and had to eat one member of the forum, who would it be and why?
Mike Huey.
Really?
Why would you eat such a humble man?
Probably tastes nice.
Because he's really tender.
Okay.
Okay, Eric Reese says, if Jack helped you off the horse, would you help Jack off the horse?
Say that again?
I really don't want to.
Your British accent's too thick.
Okay. So, if Jack helped you off the horse, would you help Jack off the horse? Horse. Like, you know the animal?
Horse.
Pulls cars?
Horse? Oh.
Horse.
What's wrong with the way I say horse?
Horse? Okay. H-O-R-S-E?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say it. If Jack helped you off the horse, would you help Jack off the horse?
Oh. No.
Why not? That's very unkind of you.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Alright, he's not... He knows it's a trap. He's not gonna fall for it. Alright, number six, and I guess, what's your favorite internet meme?
Internet name?
Meme.
Meme?
Yeah.
M-E-M-E.
M-E-M-E.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Like, you know, just fads on the internet, like the double rainbow guy, he was big for a while.
Oh, and then, a viral thing?
What?
It has to be a viral thing, or just anything?
Yeah,
else?
like a viral thing, I guess. Or anything you find that's awesome.
It's really happy problems.
I can't even think of one. There was one from National Geographic where a bunch of animals were fighting. That was pretty cool. I don't know.
I don't think I've seen.
Huh? Is it that one where a little baby animal is about to get eaten by a crocodile and something happens, like a big battle?
I think there's like a, I don't remember exactly what, it's like a buffalo tries to get eaten by a crocodile and it escapes. And
yeah.
Then a bunch of animals come and they get eaten by the crocodile or something. I don't know, it's some crazy scene. You have to watch it, like 5 minutes long.
I've seen it before, and then they have like a standoff or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not really a meme, but it's still cool.
It's an internet video. It'll do.
Yeah. Tom, what's your favorite meme?
I don't really like memes. there's one I like. There's something I say on IRC quite a lot, but I can't repeat it here.
No.
it's a lyric for a song. What else?
I like
it. Have you me heard of Kasim G?
Kasim G?
Kasim G on YouTube?
Yeah, I know him.
No? Have you ever seen his episodes of California On?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are... You should watch the one on California on Michael Vick.
Oh, no, this just sounds bad.
You should watch it sometime.
He has a good habit of bringing out the worst in people, or the stupidest moments in people.
Yeah, they're funny, though. Such a brilliant idea.
Kasim G on Michael Vick. You know, I'm going to write them down.
Yeah, link me to it.
Kasim G on Vick. All right. I guess with that, our time is up, Patrick.
All right.
You must leave. Go back to Frodo. Do your thing.
Tom's going to go to bed.
Yeah, most probably. I'm not going out. I'm not going out until tomorrow, so... I'm just gonna finish this 7x7 that I scrambled idiotically.
It's like 11 for you, man.
Yeah, I know, but don't I'm you? Ill. I need an early night.
Yeah. Take a good rest and relax your voice, because we're going to record again on Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be fine by then.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, like, I don't know, just referring back to this on Sunday, you know, going back and forth.
We might have to listen to it a bit.
Yeah, it would be cool, though. Anyway, Patrick, thanks for being on, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Nice to speak to you again.
For sure.
Bloop. Indiscreet transition. Bloop, bloop. And we're back. How'd you guys like 2 days ago? I hope you enjoyed it. Tom, you enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, it was fun. I had a great conversation with Patrick.
Yeah.
It feels weird saying that because I can hardly remember what we discussed.
We were both so tired, and you were probably on some kind of medicine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not anything hardcore. Just a bit of paracetamol, a bit of oranges.
So it says on the show notes, random catch of the day. We did that. Quickfire questions for Patrick. We did that. And then,
quickfire questions.
Yeah, by the guest. Are you excited? I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm crazy excited. I've never been so more excited in my entire life.
You know, this is... That's not cool, man. Alright,
it's too easy to be sarcastic sometimes.
You want to go first or should I go first?
Yeah. I'll go first.
Let's rock, paper,
I
scissors.
Go first.
Let's rock, paper, scissors. Alright, when I say now, you say the thing, alright?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Are you gonna say it?
I'm gonna say it.
1, 2, 3 now.
And then right after, you say whatever, alright?
Okay.
Alright, 1, 2, 3 now, scissors. Paper. Yeah! Alright.
I was thinking of saying scissors, but then I thought you might say rock, so it's a paper.
You know,
difficult
that's
game.
Paper, scissors, pretty.
Yeah. Okay.
Gets into your mind, man. You can go
first. You want me to ask you your questions?
Sure.
Okay. So, question number one for Andrew.
Right.
Stephen Calopy says, if you could only drink one beverage for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Root beer.
Root beer?
Yeah.
Not bacon juice.
What?
Why not bacon juice?
Because that's not a drink. It's food. It's just
it's
one.
It's not even healthy.
Yeah. Drink is non-water stuff, and I would definitely pick root beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can use, like, you know the grease that comes off bacon when you fry it? Just drink that.
Why? That's not bacon, though. It's just
a classic American drink.
You drink a cup full of that stuff, write a review, and I'll, you know, think about it.
Okay. Question number two for Andrew Kang.
Alright.
Lucas Kerb says, if you're stuck on an island and you're only allowed to bring a cube, a book, and an electronic, what would you bring?
Well, a cube, a book, and an electronic, right?
Yeah.
Alright, a cube, I would bring my 3x3, obviously.
Duh.
And I'm assuming, like, you know, they won't... Assuming my electronic won't run out of batteries, right?
Well, it depends.
Now, am I going to be stuck on the island forever, or what? What's the deal with this?
You're going to be stuck in it forever.
God.
And that you don't have... You have to replace the batteries yourself with solar power somehow. That's the deal.
Alright, cube, the book, How to Not Kill Yourself with Boredom, and then the other one is... or Zombie Survival Guide. That's cool, too. An iPad plugged into a solar powered machine thing with 3G.
That is a good call.
Yeah. You like that? That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Carlos Mendez says, how do you say hello in Korean?
Formally or informally? Cause there's, you know, if you're saying hello to a customer or saying hello to an elder person like your parents or someone else that's older. 안녕하세요.
Well, it's like, good evening, sir, as opposed to like, yo, what's up?
Yeah. But there's pretty much one greeting is the universal greeting for hello formally is 안녕하세요.
Okay.
And then informal is just 안녕.
Okay. So it's like, instead of saying hello, it's like saying hi.
Yeah. Or 안녕 and then 안녕하세요. Yeah.
I'm not going to try and repeat that. Okay, Nate Lancaster says, my principal got married on Monday. Her name before was Miss Ryden, now it's Mrs. Bacon. No joke. That's all he says. Okay. Jiggy says, what's the strangest place
you chose ever? That. You chose that, though.
Yeah, what? I know. Like, I just put it in anyway. Whatever.
All right.
Thought it would be funny. Okay, Jiggy says, what's the strangest place you sold a cube?
The strangest place that I solved the cube. I don't know. I mean, every place I've been is pretty much normal. I would say the most out of norm place is my school's talent show, but that was about it. I did the stupid little trick where you get to PLL and put it behind your back and you solve it and people go, oh my God, he's not looking at it. I did one of those and it was really lame.
You're so crazy.
Dude, like half the stadium, like, jumped up and be like, oh, that's my boy. And I don't even know you. Yeah.
Okay. Jiggy also asks, what new 3x3 based event would you invent to a one-off for fun competition?
Just like a new 3x3 unofficial event?
Yeah.
Team Relay.
Team Relay? Oh, that's quite cool, actually.
Yeah. Like, there's like a team of four. One does cross and then F2L and then OLPL or something like that.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
Oh, you could just like, but you could cheat easily, like.
But like,
get like someone who's really good and just make him do like the entire F2L, basically.
Well, yeah, but like if you get really serious though, like I've been in some teams where been in some relays where like, one person's doing the cross and the other person's like head over his shoulder with his hands like wrapped around and ready to go. It's freaking crazy.
Yeah, it was quite cool. We did some like a relay event at the UK Open. Like, you had seven people on your team and so you had like one person did a cross and then four people did F2L slots and then someone did OLL and then someone did PLL. I did OLL. It was fun.
Yes. My first competition in the after party, I did like a relay with like, Mackie laying low and Chris Hardwick and Dan Knights.
Haka.
Yeah, Dan Knights. Freaking amazing guy. Anyway.
That's like old school. Okay.
This is quick five questions. Come on. Let's keep going. Yeah.
He's not called Mike Crotch. He's called Mike Koch.
Yeah.
So, he says, how would you react if you were skipping through the woods and saw a wild deer, dude?
A wild deer?
Geodude. Oh,
Geodude. I throw some leaves at it because it's super effective and throw my Pokeball.
Good answer. Is it super effective or is that like...
Grass is super effective against rock.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. Nerd.
Shut up.
Okay. So, Yinglan Zeng says... some other pronunciation says, which is your favorite season?
Fall.
You mean autumn?
Autumn.
It's all right.
It's,
I prefer.
It's not too hot. It's not too cold. The leaves are beautiful. Perfect season. Go. Next question.
That was the last question.
Oh. I ended it perfectly. 9 out of 9. All right. Well,
ready? That was just 8.
What?
That was just 8.
Yeah, we did kind of slow down in some places. Are you ready for your quick fire questions, Tom?
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm always ready. I was born ready.
Number one, Slater. If you had to completely change your color scheme of your cube to something without any of the normal colors, then what would it be and why? Tell me chrome.
No, chrome's terrible. So, like, pink and purple on left and right.
Uh-huh.
Just because, like, that. Actually, no. Pink and purple on front and back. And then, grey and, I'm running out of colours here. Like, I can't use like, okay, so grey and black on left and right.
Alright.
And then like Asia and Vermilion on top and bottom.
What's an Asian color? Yellowish?
No, I didn't say Asian, I said Asia. A-Z-U-R-E.
Azure?
Yeah.
Azure?
Yeah, yeah. It's like
bluish?
Yeah.
Asia, just, how racist are you, man?
I can't say blue, so.
Alright. Cyrus Cola, do you know any other languages besides English?
Not really. I can speak assembly language. I can't really speak it. I just write it.
I think I asked you this question before. Mm.
Yeah, you did. And I feel terrible because I can't say anything else.
Stephen Kalopi, you can just say Annyeong when someone asks you that. Alright, Stephen Kalopi, you were just told that you have to do a sub-10 Rubik's Cube solve. Wait, did I ask you these questions before?
I don't remember this one.
Alright, wait.
Just go, it's cool. Look,
do you know this? So what is your keyboard layout? Did I ask you that before?
Yeah, I think so, actually.
God damn it. Alright, Mike Koch, what are your top three favorite games for Sega Genesis?
Sonic 2, Sonic 3 & Knuckles, and... I don't want to say Sonic 1, but it is.
Sonic 1, 2, and 3.
No. Like Streets of Rage or something. Like, Sonic 2, Sonic 3 & Knuckles, and Streets of Rage.
Alright. Michael Ernskine, why on God's green earth does Tom not know what a burrito is?
Lol, Mike. I don't know. Just, I had an inkling of what it was. I just wasn't sure, you know?
It's like...
It could be anything.
It's like half the world eats it, man.
It's the same. It's like a taco or something.
It's...
Sort of.
It's... meat, cheese, lettuce, tomato, and then like a rat bread? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have a rough idea. I just
all right.
Exactly. I don't eat burritos all the time. I eat like tofu.
It's my favorite kind of meat. Tofu's good.
I've never eaten tofu.
All right, Logan Kelly, 12-6 cloud? Question mark.
What?
12-6 cloud.
Well, what?
All right, minus 1 point for that. You don't. All right, you discover a new.
No.
It's like.
I don't know what to do with the cloud part of the question. Like, I'm okay with the maths, but like, I don't know how to subtract by a cloud. Okay, just next question.
All right.
I can't trap by a cloud.
Simon Locke, a.k.a. Jiggy, you discover a new planet. What do you call it?
England.
God, that is so bad.
No, I call it, like, Tom's planet. How inventive am I?
Oh, my God, dude. All right, let's see. Just one more. I'm looking through my emails because, like, that list I had, I already asked you. All right.
Nice preparation, dude.
Thanks, man. Dude, you did zero of the show notes. Don't talk to me like that. I will slap you with three lines, okay?
I'll put a word in here and there.
All right. I should post the show notes on the page and highlight the 1% where you put in effort. let's see.
Keep
one
on.
More. Would you rather quit cubing or stay sober for the rest of your life? Last one. That was by Adam.
Ooh. Probably. Wait. You said quit cubing or stay sober?
Quit alcohol or quit drinking. I mean, quit cubing.
okay. I'd probably quit cubing.
Well, there are a lot of other substitutes for getting inebriated.
Yeah, well, I was assuming you meant, like, everything, like, intoxication.
Yeah, let's do that. That's better.
I wouldn't really want to give that up for, like, to be honest, like, it wouldn't give me much, like, I wouldn't feel better about it when I was cubing and like, oh, I can never drink again. This really sucks. But if I could still drink but couldn't cube, I'd be like, oh, I can't cube again, but I just get drunk, so it'd be okay. Like, it'd be easier to deal with, basically.
I understand.
I thought a lot about that. Way too much.
All right, that was a quick fire questions for you. I lose points for that because I wasn't ready. But, yeah. Sucks.
At least points for putting something in that wasn't a question.
Alrighty.
Statement.
That was quick fire questions. We love doing them. We love asking it to each other and the guest. If you want to send some in, go to cubecastpodcast.com. On the right side, there's going to be the links and you just follow it. Woot. Alright. Let's see. This week's puzzle, or this episode's puzzle. Why do I keep saying this week? Because it's not on a weekly basis. This is the whatever, I'm just going to read it. John Johnson, oh, he survived, captured from the Nazis. That's good for him. John Johnson sat on his seat and waited for service. After a few minutes, a young lady came by and asked if he would like something to drink. John asked the lady for a beer. Since John looks young, after 60 years, that's cool. She asked him for an ID. After checking the ID, she gave him a beer without a problem. John ordered another beer in the same seat he was sitting in last time he ordered. You alright, Tom?
Yeah, carry on.
Alright. To his surprise, he was asked again for his ID. When the server checked his ID, she said that it would be illegal for her to serve him beer. Thus, John Johnson was left in his seat sober. What's going on here?
I actually know the answer.
Well, we discussed it when I...
Yeah,
come on.
Well, you always give me the puzzler and you're like, oh, guess what it is? And then I try and guess and I sort of get there and you're like, yeah, whatever.
And a small hint, it doesn't have anything to do with blood alcohol level. All right. Okay. Get to it if you want to send in the puzzler answer for a chance to win a t-shirt. Go to cubecastpodcast.com. On the right side, there's the puzzler section. You could, I guess, send in your answer and also read the puzzler too. And if not, send it to cubepuzzler@gmail.com. And next episode, we'll announce the winner.
Do you think it's harder this time? People have been like saying it should be harder.
Do they? I can do really hard puzzlers, but I choose not to.
Yeah.
Because
they could be past, like, possible.
This past puzzler, Kimi was the winner, but he was the fourth person I chose after three wrong answers. But two of them were kind of trollish answers because one of them was something. John Johnson's not a real. You all right, man? Your throat?
Yeah, I'm fine. Like, got a lung infection or something.
Oh shit! All right, we gotta
just carry on. I'm fine.
All right. Anyway, send those in next week. Oh, we haven't announced this yet. Who's episode 10's guest? We hyped
about
it up.
To announce it now.
We hyped it up so long, you know.
Really funny how the actual person posted in the thread and was like saying something about the person.
Wait, Will Smith cubes? Are you serious? No, it's not Will Smith.
Wishful thinking.
Well, I don't know.
Just totally try and get him though.
Dude, if I can get Will Smith, dude, I'll do anything, man. Are you serious?
Ask Tyson to. Nah, don't ask Tyson.
Tyson knows Will Smith though, but that'd be cool. Anyway, well, Tyson taught Will Smith how to cube, right? For the movie. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for the show. I'm just kidding. We gotta announce who it is next week.
Can't leave them in suspense.
Stefan Pachman. Woot! Some people are gonna be like, why did you hype it up so much? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think people will be really looking forward to it. I know I am, at least.
Yeah. Send in your questions to ask Stefan Pachman. Poke into his brain. Whatever. Quick fire questions. Go ahead. Anyway, we're also doing some cool new things for episode 10 and possibly onwards. One of them is send in your favorite moments from the past 9 episodes, including this one. Just be like, send in an email, ask general questions or something, and just say, oh, and episode 4, 20 minutes and 13 seconds in, that was a really cool part. You should put that in, and we'll make a little montage for you guys, you know. Anyway, please make it up to around 30 seconds in length for that segment-ish. So
sorry I can't, like, speak properly. I'm like, I really need to just, like, stop for a few minutes or something and just cough my lungs up, but we're nearly done anyway. I'll survive.
Yeah, it's cool. And,
oh, it's cool, isn't it? Okay.
It's cool. And also, I guess one of the things I'm excited for is send in voicemails. Yeah.
This was a cool idea.
Yeah, if you have an iPhone 4 or something and you want to ask a quick question, just, you know, make a quick voicemail, attach it to an email, and send it to cubecast@gmail.com. And, yeah, send in your voicemails. We'll play it on the show, answer him, and respond to him, whatever. Please make it family appropriate. No bad words.
You should totally listen to it before
you
put it on the show.
Yeah, because if you act stupid, we're probably going to put it on the show just to make fun of you.
Nice.
Please make it please don't make them too long, up around 30 seconds tops. So you can be like, oh, hey, CubeCast, or hey, Andrew, you guys rock. How come Tom's such a lazy Brit? And then we'll just, yeah.
Lol.
Anyway, yeah, send those in at cubecast@gmail.com. And before we go, iTunes reviews. We have 2 new iTunes reviews. We're actually on iTunes, so if you go and search CubeCast, we come up and you can click on us. We're pretty much one of the top searches on iTunes for CubeCast, so that's pretty cool. Yes.
Yeah. One of the top. Who else is higher than us?
There's a few podcasts with CubeCast in their name. It's kind of weird.
That is weird.
Epley12 says 6 out of 5. That's awesome.
That is a good review.
That is a good review. That's the title of the review. I don't want to read the whole thing because it's too long, but if you want to read it, go to iTunes and read it. And also, IRecU, he says the podcast is up to date and well planned out. Well, thank you for the 5-star reviews, guys. Go to iTunes and...
He knows nothing about our planning.
Well, he listens to the show and he sees that there's a small format, you know? It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm just taking the mic. Obviously, we plan it, sort of.
I plan it.
At least one of us does. Yeah.
Alrighty. Anyway, I think that's it for the show. Visit our website, cubecastpodcast.com. It has all the information you need on there for asking questions, sending in voicemails, and whatnot. Yeah. Subscribe to the show via iTunes. You can search it on iTunes and Zune. I believe you need to do it through the website if you want to do it on Zune, but yeah.
No one has a Zune.
I have a Zune.
Zune sucks.
So do 4x4s? They just suck. Yeah. Say suck.
Suck.
Why do you say it so weird? Anyway,
I say it like how it's supposed to be said.
Anyway, I'm just gonna just let you go. Send in your questions to just let's get ready for episode 10, make it something special, make it fun. And a lot of it is going to be through you guys, the listeners, so send in your stuff. If you think the show is something good and worth contributing for, please, you know, go to the website. There's a donate button for PayPal, and, you know, you can do a shout-out on the show, and it's really cool. And, yeah, it's that time of the month again to pay for the servers anyway.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be fine.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for episode 9, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Episode 10.
Stefan Pachman. All right.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Episode 10.
Stefan Pachman. All right. Why do you always do little sound effects right after we...
I don't know. Like, it's like, it doesn't matter that I do that because we finished. Like, you're obviously not going to cut that back into the show or anything.